Welcome to Bimmercast 13. It is January 15th. I lose track these days. And we have got a big show. We're actually wrapping up the North American International Auto Show for 2010. So we're going to be talking a little bit about what we heard off the record. We're going to be talking about what we heard on the record. And, of course, we're going to be talking about a lot of the news that we just recently broke with the N55 engine, the DCT, the IS models, and everything about. So stay tuned. Okay, we are back from a whirlwind trip to Detroit, or that was actually myself and Todd. Michael, you got to stay home and rest up.
Yeah, it's been nice and peaceful.
No, that's got bad. I have to say I am exhausted. I'm still exhausted from the trip, and it was a few days ago. So it's amazing. And as much as you hear bad things about the North American Auto Show, the Detroit Auto Show, it's cramped. It's in a bad location. Not to mention it's in Detroit. it's still pretty incredible. You know, there are some really, really cool debuts there. Now, granted, the domestic industry, GM, Ford, Chrysler, didn't have a lot. Of course, Ford rolled out the new Focus, which was actually a really, really nice looking car. But to me, the Germans really owned the show. You know, BMW had some notable releases. Mercedes had I believe it was the E-Class Coupe. VW came out with their clearly it's a Jetta Coupe, will be a Jetta Coupe. And, of course, Audi had the their little
e-tron
R4.
Version 12.
Yeah, their little e-tron, which is essentially an R4, it looks like. And actually it was the public debut of the new A8 as well. So, and we can talk about that in a second, but yeah, pretty fun show.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff. It looked, from the photos, it looked like it was a good time.
Yeah, it really was. And I think a lot of people, just obviously from our site, we've got a lot of people talking about the interview we did with Martin Berkman. And I have to say, what a great guy.
Yeah. Martin is an excellent guy, and he's a true enthusiast at heart. He's got BMW running in his blood.
Yeah, I can see it. And I think it's a good thing for enthusiasts like myself and like yourself and anybody who reads the site and listens to the podcast to hear that somebody in that position is so dedicated, so focused, and such an enthusiast, because he's one of us. I mean, and I can truly say that I didn't hold back with the questions. I really wanted to challenge him a little bit on some of the things that we've been reading. And listen, the guy clearly he has a job and he can't run the company with his heart, but I certainly think he has his heart in the right place.
Yeah, he definitely does. And knowing where BMW wants to be and where we want BMW to be, there has to be a happy medium. And he's the guy that, basically helps get that going.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a great interview. Some things that he said that I think are notable. He didn't say the Roadster, the M Roadster was not coming, 100% not coming. It was pretty close, but he said that it is not currently planned. Now, keep in mind, we heard that exact same thing with the previous
last generation.
C4. Exact same thing. So for those who are holding out for some sort of convertible M Roadster, I would say, it could still happen.
Anything is possible.
Yeah, I don't think that the coupe would happen. But, who knows. So the other thing that I found interesting is that he didn't sort of stutter when I mentioned the 1M or the M1 or whatever you want to call it. And he certainly seemed to insinuate that if BMW to build a vehicle like that, like all M cars, the U.S. is the biggest M market. It would certainly, have a home in the U.S. market. So by that rationale, you'd have to expect that if BMW, and we know they are, build a 1M or M1 product, you can look for it to come to the U.S.
That sounds very exciting. That's going to be a very tossable car.
I would think so. I would absolutely think so. And this is a, you know, obviously it's a return to that small M product. And, you know, it's interesting. We talked a little bit off camera for a while about the E30 and the M3 E30 specifically. And we talked about that car and how magical it was, and the rumors were true. Apparently, they did have the M division, and a bunch of engineers did have access to an E30 M. They brought it out. Everybody drove it, and I think a lot of people really liked it. The problem is you cannot achieve a weight like that in a car, in a mass produced car.
Doesn't allow it.
You just can't do it. So while you can't on paper achieve that kind of weight and simplicity, what you can achieve is that kind of feel. And I think if you listen to what he talked about with the X5M and the X6M, and I know that's a completely different vehicle, but he talked about the M brand being about driver control. And I think that I feel like as much as that's always been the case, that language and that communication is slightly different than what we heard, let's just say 4 or 5 years ago. The M brand stood for naturally aspirated, high revving engines. It stood for rear-wheel drive. It stood for, you know, all these different things, driver involvement, et cetera, et cetera. But when you hear that the M is all about control, it's interesting because to some degree, that's kind of what made the E30 so special. And if you can take that idea, you know, that notion of control, precision, chuckability, for instance, and translate it to your products and try to get them down in weight, obviously, but still sort of live in the current, sales climate, if you will. You still need to create cars that people are going to buy. I think you have something pretty special, and it's clear that BMW is trying to achieve that. And in that sense, I think it's trying to stay pure to the M brand.
Yeah, and I think that point of where M is in relation to everything else is also something to delve into with the, you know, these new IS cars, because a lot of people are going to ask the question, what's the difference between the IS and what's the difference between an M? And I think that drivability and feel is really what's going to separate M, you know, the ability to, you know, carve a turn, you know, like a knife blade, and to be able to, you know, rotate the car because of the balance and all that, I think, is going to separate M from these other higher performance cars that BMW is launching.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very exciting. So I think that the first vehicle coming out with that mindset, not necessarily the first vehicle, but the next vehicle, it would be that 1M. So that will make it a very hotly anticipated product, I would think.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So It was, like I said, a great interview. One of the things that we didn't talk about on camera was the fate of the wagons. And I know that was a question that was brought up, and I know, Michael, you were interested to know. And we talked a little bit about that, and I think it's pretty clear that in Martin's mind, the 5 Series GT coming to the U.S. doesn't itself kill the 5 Series wagon. What would or could kill it, and he said it hasn't been killed yet, despite what you may have heard, but he said what could kill it is just purely the market. I mean, they need to sell products, you know, to keep that, you know, product relevant, essentially. I mean, they can't bring something over, they can't spend the money on it if you only sell a few hundred a year. And that, I know that's been, it was more than that, but you know, there's a BMW cannot take the risks that a larger automaker can. And unfortunately, it's a reality of the economic situation that we are in, and we've always been in. It's a small company. They're an independent company, and they cannot afford to bring a car over and lose money on it for 8 years because they only sold at peak maybe 1,000 a year.
The costs are over, you know, it's, you sell something at such a low volume, it's not justified. It's for a business model. I mean, it's BMW operates as a business, and that's what sometimes I think us enthusiasts forget is they have to make decisions to stay afloat, not just, you know, make 100 people happy.
And so I think it was a valid point. I mean, granted, I'm still going to be upset. I'm a huge wagon fan. You know, if and when the same thing comes to the 3 Series wagon, which I think it will, I believe that the 3 Series and the 5 Series wagons next generation will not come to the U.S. That's my expectation based on, you know, what he was saying. And he didn't say it, but it was clear to me that BMW is very concerned about it, and they're bringing new products over to the U.S. that could appeal to a broader market, and maybe work better with the specific U.S. market. So, you know, in BMW's mind, maybe it's the right thing to do to maybe wait a little bit on wagons, and see where the market goes. You know, you've got the 5 Series is a $65,000 wagon, and people in that bracket who spend that kind of money grew up with wagons, and they may not like wagons. You know, there's this stigma attached to wagons to a certain generation or generations, that Michael, you and I mean, we're a little bit younger. I don't have that stigma, and I love wagons. And I think obviously you owned one, so I would say the same for you, I would expect.
Yeah. And it's an uphill battle with, you know, my wife and I, that she's going to get a wagon.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting because, I think, personally, you know, it wouldn't be a bad decision for them if they're going to do it to hopefully bring the wagons back at some point. But, you know, it'll be a shame when they go. But I think, you know, it's understandable at the very least. Still, you know, I'm not trying to be apologetic for them. But you can understand the idea behind it.
No, definitely can. And on that note, I don't believe that, you know, the competitor Mercedes brought a C-Class wagon this generation here yet. I don't know if they're coming with one.
The C-Class, I don't believe they have. I mean, that's a good question. I don't believe they have.
Yeah, I don't believe they have one. So it's not solely, you know, a BMW thing. But on you know, that note too, I don't know if anyone's going to bring them except for apparently Cadillac spending some of that $40 billion on bringing the CTS-V wagon. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess we all spent the money to bring the CTS wagon, since we all own a Cadillac.
$14,000 is in that wagon is mine.
Yeah, that's the those of you who are listening in the U.S., which I would expect is a good percentage of you. We all own part of that wagon. So, by the way, it's a good looking wagon. I saw it at the show, the Detroit show. I've got to hand it to Cadillac. I mean, the CTS is a good car. I wouldn't call it a great car. I wouldn't buy it over a 3 Series, but I'd consider it over a lot of other similar cars.
I agree with that.
Specifically, the CTS-V is a really nice car. I will say this. The CTS Coupe, not an attractive car. I'm not a fan of it whatsoever.
Too edgy.
Well, the rear end of the thing slopes down so much. You don't have a trunk, and it ends up looking like, literally, they left something on the assembly line.
And that
would be the trunk.
Sounds about right. Yeah, sounds about right.
So it's, I hope it appeals to somebody, because again, I've got a lot of money tied up in Cadillac. So on that note, again, great interview with Martin. And I talked to a lot of folks from BMW, and I'd like to say thanks to everybody who was so gracious. I had a chance to talk with, I mean, I had a chance to talk with Adrian Van Huydonk as well. So that was kind of fun. We talked a little bit about his M3, and I haven't written this anywhere, and I don't know if anybody even knows this, but he has a very, very special M3. It is matte black. And it is
nice.
It is a color they're actually testing for production. So he told me about this. And it's matte black with white leather interior. It has a gloss black trim around the windows and gloss black wheels.
Wow, that's confusing.
I can see it looking pretty cool. So, in fact, it's interesting because they have damaged the car many times. The designers have damaged the car and had it repainted to see how the repainting holds up and how it works. And he said it actually works really well. In fact, they've been very, very happy with the repair, the spot repair with this particular matte paint. So much so, and I'm actually kind of surprised that nobody's mentioned this. We talked about matte finishes coming out. But So much so that they are bringing matte finishes out. It's going to be a special color, but they're going to bring three of them out. One of them they've already brought out. It's frozen. It's the frozen. I think it's. Is it called frozen gray?
I think so. Yes.
It's essentially it's space gray without the
clear.
The clear coat. Yeah. So they're going to bring out this black, which will be frozen black, and they're going to bring out
orange.
No, it's not. In fact, I actually feel terrible because I cannot remember. It was pretty late when we talked about all this, and I believe it was it wasn't the brown, the Sepang brown or whatever that was, but it was more of a gold color, and it's a current color. So I'm sure after this I can take a quick look and we could figure it out. But they're going to bring out three matte finishes, and they're going to be special order colors, but still very cool stuff.
Interesting. You know, my hate for matte finishes goes deep. So
I know. I like them. I mean, I think they're kind of cool.
Yeah, they're trendy and cool, like fluorescent colors were in the 80s. But I can't do it, man. I painted cars and wet sanded and buffed the hell out of things. And if it didn't shine and I couldn't see myself in it, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to. So these things you can spray and not have to worry about it. That just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, I think it is the prime. Bronze. I think it's a bronze. In fact, if you go to the M5 build your own tool, and you know how those colors just don't glisten very well on the build your own on BMW USA. So you could probably take a look at that and get a feel for the kind of finish it is. But I think it's cool. I'm sure it'll be $4,000, and you know, who knows who's going to buy it. I'm sure so a lot of people in Dubai will. Well, maybe not anymore, but. Somebody will. So anyway, it was kind of cool. We talked for a little while. We had a great time. I mean, you know, again, you talk to these people. One of the things that's really cool is they're real people. You know, they're actually interesting people. And I would say they're all very nice. You know, they're very approachable, very down to earth.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're down to earth. And
that goes all the way from, you know, from the bottom to the top. Talking to Adrian, it was clear he just was a very, you know, very casual, very authentic and real guy, and you know, no pretense there.
Nice.
So yeah, a big week for us. But the other big news, Michael, you broke this story on Sunday, and I know it's old news now, but we should go over it. The N54 is being dropped in a lot of cars. And in fact, all of them pretty much. The N55 is going to be replacing it.
That's correct. Sources pointed us in that direction, and kudos to them. But I think the first car we're seeing with the N55 is the 135. So we're going to have the six-cylinder, single, dual-scroll turbo, 300 horsepower, 300 foot-pounds of torque. And then that car is going to be available with a six-speed manual or exclusively a 7-speed DCT.
Yeah, that is a big deal. The DCT is going to be replacing outright the automatic transmission in the 135, and I think it's an interesting choice, and I think it's the right choice. The folks who are buying that car, you would suspect, are going to appreciate the DCT more than, let's just say, an owner of even a 335, let alone a 328. But the interesting thing is that the DCT will be available in the 135, but it will not be available in the 335, either the coupe or the sedan, unless you get the IS model, which hasn't been introduced yet, but we all know is coming.
It's coming, yes. It's going to be available with the DCT and the IS. It's going to have an up-tuned motor, very similar to the level of the BMW performance kit, and it's going to have some other styling features exclusive to that model.
So it sounds like we've got some pretty interesting scenarios here. So let's take a step back. I want to focus on the 1 Series first, because we just posted about this just the other day. They're dropping the N54 for the N55. So the N54, we know, was a twin turbo, very undervalued in terms of power. We know that. BMW was very conservative when they released the 300 horsepower, 300 foot-pound of torque numbers. And we've seen it dynoed up to, I think, almost 350 from different sources. So are we really seeing the 135 and even the 335 basically get their power cut sort of quietly in the name for efficiency?
It's a good question. I don't know if we're going to know until we actually have some, you know, more accurate testing done on and both, to be honest with you, because the numbers on the on the N54, the twin turbo, have varied so much. I mean, 300 to 350, there's a large range of people saying, you know, so my car did on a dyno. And then a couple of magazines had 325, and actually, I think you're right, all the way up to 350. So it'll be interesting to see what the N55 does when, you know, people test it. Is it closer to 300? Is it going to be 320? We have no idea. So there could be a drop off in performance for an increase in efficiency. That's not out of the question.
I think my gut feeling is yes, the 2011 135i will have, in the real world, probably a little bit less horsepower than the 2010, 2009, 2008. And that's just my gut feeling, and you know, I'll go on record right now and say I don't have any statistics to back that up, but I hope not. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a different feel too, because it is going to spool up a little bit quicker, so mm-hmm. you're going to get that torque and that horsepower a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there could be more power in the 2010, but the 2011 may be faster on a track. So, you know, if you really want bragging rights, I guess we're going to have to wait.
Yeah, that'll be a fun contest, right?
I think we should be the judge.
That'll be a good time. That'll be a great time.
Yeah.
So that's the first one that's officially released. And then we should hopefully see the 3 Series, the Life Cycle Impulse break this week sometime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that is going to be the we saw the E90 last year, and some people were underwhelmed by it, some people loved it. The fact that, you know, the coupe has already had the new nav, for instance, you know, I think it's gonna be a little bit less of a change. You're probably, you know, obviously we're going to be seeing new bumpers, new headlights, new taillights. But yeah, other than that, maybe some new wheels. Well, definitely some new wheels. Going to be pretty subtle.
Should be subtle. And I think on the inside as well, we've been hearing that there's going to be a little bit of a change with the armrests and things like that. Nothing, you know, extraordinarily major. A couple color choice changes. It's going to be a bamboo trim on the inside. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anything groundbreaking on the inside.
Yeah. One thing that I think is going to be even more subtle is the update to the M3, the M3 coupe specifically. And really, I think
it's going to get a butt lift.
Yeah. All we're going to see is new taillights, pretty much.
And that's all it needs. There's no need for a horsepower increase or anything like that. The car does just fine.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, if they up the horsepower and made that thing rev anymore, board it out, or add a stroker cam or a stroker crank and change the cams or whatever on that thing, it'd get even worse gas mileage.
So, yeah, that's true. That's the last thing they need.
No, I mean, I get 8 in the city sometimes when I'm really hamping on it, and then up to 22 on the highway. So, my motor is broken in fairly well. So it's got about 25,000 miles on it.
Not bad. I've never having those for a few weeks as press cars. I never saw over 20 on the highway.
Yeah, 22 with a going downhill with a wind tailwind.
Yeah. No kidding. actually with the car off, rolling,
coasting.
So what else? What else happened this past week? I mean, obviously the IS models we just talked about, you know, and we've talked about that at length on the website. What do you think, Michael? I mean, do you think these things are going to sell at the prices and the performance we're seeing?
I mean, the pricing, the only one that's been announced is the Z4 S-Drive 35 IS, and that's going to have a base price of $61,050 without, you know, all those great shipping costs. But that's going to come standard with the dual clutch. So, I mean, that's a pricey car. That's going to be about the same level as a stripped M3. Different customer, obviously, you know, going from a Z4 with the convertible top to an M3. But I think the Z4 version, because it's going to have a bit more power, is going to be a rip-roaring good time, mm-hmm. Especially with that the overboost feature. You can easily spin, I would imagine, 1 through 3 in that thing, and it just got to scream.
So it's interesting to me because, I mean, at this point, BMW has like all these little niches of 3 Series. You know, you're going to have this IS that's going to have 322 horsepower. It's going to have 332 foot-pound of torque. It's very, very close to the standard 335 with the engine kit for the, you know, with the BMW Performance engine kit, of course.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. I think, you know, it's fair enough to say there was a package, you know, quietly released earlier in the year for the X6. It was called the 7RR mm-hmm. Performance Upgrade. And it seems like this IS version of the 335 is very similar motor-wise to that.
So why wouldn't they have just called the X6 IS for marketing purposes?
Well, I think if you had X6, X-Drive, 35i, and then you add that extra S, it might tip the vehicle to the side too much.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's absolutely fair. So one thing that I'm seeing with this with this IS is the fact that the dual clutch, is it going to be optional?
Optional.
So am I right to understand that the 335 IS coupe will be available with a manual transmission?
No, I do not believe so.
So we believe that it's going to be an automatic as standard?
Automatic, sport automatic as standard, I believe, yes, with an optional 7-speed. And you know, based on information and just the sheer fact that these numbers are already significantly higher than the limits of what mm-hmm. the BMW Performance Kit was allowed to delve into.
Right. And the torque is what?
Yeah, the really 300 and the overboost with the
369 foot.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. that's way beyond the happy feeling where the Performance Kit is.
It is a happy feeling. That feeling right around 370 foot. I'm sorry. Around 317 foot pound of torque is a very happy feeling.
Yes.
370 would be unhappy because your clutch would be in pieces about a quarter mile behind you.
Blown to pieces, you'd have that burnt clutch smell, which nobody likes.
So I think there's going to be a ton of news over the past over the next couple weeks. Sorry, with the LCIs, and you know, of course, we're going to have a big Geneva show. Mini's going to have a big Geneva show. They're going to have their refresh. So BMW is going to be very, very busy.
Yeah, and if actually those wonderful Swiss French people send me those passes to get to Geneva, we might actually be able to make it. I still haven't gotten them in the mail.
No, they take their time. They just like to take their time. So one question I have is, I'm sure you have the M5 piece that we did a few weeks back. There's been a lot of buzz around that. And we've heard a lot of rumors around it. But the one number, the highest number I've seen, and I just have to ask about this, and we have heard it as well, is 578 horsepower.
Yes.
It's
a good time.
That is, I don't care how they spin it, that is not efficient dynamics.
Well, I don't know how dynamic it could be either if it's just going to be rear-wheel drive. You're going to have like, massively huge.
Oh, see, it depends. I actually think that is extremely dynamic. I think it's not efficient.
Yeah, I just don't know, man. With all that power, getting it to the road is just going to be tough.
Well, I will say the result is going to be some sort of dynamic result.
Yeah, it could be. That's true. Efficiently getting around turns is the real question. But no, I that's the number I'm hearing. I'm not sure how they're going to get efficiency out of that. But I will say this. With the twin turbo, it's going to be, no matter what they make that thing put out, it's going to be better than the outgoing V10. Mm-hmm. So they are improving fuel economy.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. It's now we've also heard about a potential launch this next fall, but the last sources I heard, it seems like it's going to be at least a year from now, maybe even a year from, let's just say, Geneva.
Yeah, it's a floating date, and no one seems to have the exact date.
Yeah,
at this time. But the other thing we learned this week is that Alpina is on its way back.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna see that in Chicago, actually.
Yeah, in Chicago, which is it's exciting. I'm a fan of this Alpina car because it doesn't have the ridiculous pinstriping on the sides, which have offended me since day one with Alpinas.
You know, I went from hating to tolerating to now I kind of love them. I mean, it's just what they do.
Yeah, it's just so in your face, though. It's just I have an Alpina. Why not just put a big badge across the side of the car that says Alpina? Oh, wait, they did that, too. So,
well, I love the previous iteration of the Alpina 7 Series because it had the most ridiculously big supercharger you've ever seen in your entire life. I mean, the thing that my favorite thing was to actually pop a Cooper S, the old one with the supercharger, pop the engine, right, and then pop the Alpina 7 Series with the supercharger and take a look at the sheer size of the components on that 7 Series. It's unbelievable.
The supercharger was the size of the mini motor.
It absolutely was. You know what else was kind of in your face? How about those 19-inch wheels on the Z435 IS?
Love them.
Yeah, that car should have never come with 18s. That thing looks phenomenal with those wheels. It just looks right.
It's a good looking car. I like that color too.
Yeah, it's very close to a Mola, which is will always be one of my favorite colors. Maybe because I have it in the garage. But anyway,
that's a good choice.
Yeah. It's been a pretty busy week. Obviously, we've had a ton of stuff on Bimmerfile and Motoringfile. We're gonna have a lot more coming up. Obviously, you're gonna see some new 3 Series coupes and convertibles and get all the details on that. We're going to have a lot more information on the B7. Of course, we're going to be at the Chicago Auto Show for that. And of course, the 5 Series does the full official world debut in Geneva in March. And hopefully, we'll be bringing you that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just want to give some thanks out to people supporting us this week. We have very good support from our friends over at Bimmer Post, at Jalopnik, Autoblog, so on and so forth. We really appreciate everyone linking back to us and just keeping up with the BMW news. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and also Jalopnik, too. And I actually spent some quality time with a good friend, Mike Spinelli, who was actually one of the founders at Jalopnik, and actually Dave Thomas, who was the founder of Autoblog as well this past week. And Dave Thomas is now at Cars.com, and Mike is actually just taking a position at 0-60 magazine. So it was a lot of fun to connect with those guys and hear their thoughts. And I think generally speaking, everybody sort of, everybody had positive impressions of what BMW has brought out and the position they're in, and especially what they've done with Mini as well. So I think it was a really good week for BMW.
And I think there's a lot more to come, Gabe.
Yeah, I get that feeling. I really do. So, cool. Well, until then, we'll be busy trying to find those little bits of information to bring to you. We will be back next week.
Prost.
Cheers.